ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hi, I'm Patricia Carvelis, the host of Politics Now. And sometimes it can be hard to cut through all the noise from the Canberra bubble. But on the Politics Now podcast, bursting it wide open is our core business. I'm joined by the brightest minds at the ABC to break down the poly speak and have a chat about what's actually going on behind the scenes. It's called Politics Now, and you can find it on ABC Listen.
Since Donald Trump launched his war in Iran, there's been a dramatic shift within the MAGA movement. Longtime supporters have turned on Trump, including the high-profile media personality Tucker Carlson, who says the war is the single biggest mistake by a US president in his lifetime. Now, Carlson is fueling speculation about a potential 2028 presidential bid. Today, Jason Zengerle, staff writer at The New Yorker magazine, on whether the podcast host could become president. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Jason, you know a lot about Tucker Carlson because, well, you have written a book about him, Hated by All the Right People, an interesting title just to start off.
It's his words. Uh-huh. He said that as a compliment to Viktor Orban, the former prime minister of Hungary, when he was toasting Orban. He was visiting with him in Budapest, and that was his toast, that Orban was hated by all the right people.
So, look, I want to start with this question. When he says he will not run for president in 2028, does he mean he won't run for president in 2028?
Yes. I think it's unlikely that he'll run for president in 2028.
If I wanted to be president, I think it'd be really obvious. I don't at all. But I am worried. I want someone to provide an option.
But, you know, if you had asked me before the Iran war if Tucker Carlson was going to run for president in 2028, I would have said absolutely not. There's no way at all. I think there's now a chance that he would run. I don't think it's a 0% chance that he runs. I mean, I say that I think there's a chance because I do think the war in Iran has completely changed the calculus. And, you know, if the war continues to go badly and it becomes even more unpopular than it is right now, and, you know, if J.D. Vance doesn't separate himself from Trump's foreign policy as much as Tucker wants him to, I think that's the sort of thing that could prompt him to run. So I think it's very unlikely, but it's not impossible.
Okay. All right. Well, let's just unpack why then people are now talking about Tucker Carlson for 2028. Now, just remind me of this relationship that he has had over a very long period of time with Donald Trump before this falling out over the Iran war.
You know, when Trump ran for president in 2016, Tucker was one of the only conservative pundits who actually took his campaign seriously and thought that he had a chance. And, you know, because he was right about Trump, he was able to ride that to a new show on Fox. He was really buried low on Fox's roster, and he got a primetime show. What Tucker realized was that he could influence Trump just by what he said on his show. And so he set out to do that. And, you know, he had some success, I think, for the first 2 or 3 years of Trump's first presidency. By the time Trump's reelection campaign, Tucker had really soured on Trump. He didn't like the way he handled the COVID pandemic. He didn't like the way he handled the Black Lives Matter protests. He was really tired of Trump by the time Trump lost to Joe Biden. But then after Tucker was fired from Fox, he started cozying up to Trump again. He needed to come up with ways to stay relevant and to maintain people's attention. During the 2024 campaign, Tucker was like basically a part of Donald Trump's campaign for all intents and purposes. He talked about how the assassination attempt in Butler, how Trump surviving that was, you know, a miracle from God. He kind of poured it on pretty thick.
When he stood up after being shot in the face, bloodied, and put his hand up, I thought at that moment, that was a transformation. This was no longer a man. Well, I think it was divine intervention.
then, of course, Jason, Trump launches his war against Iran in February. And by April, Tucker Carlson is shifting again. On his own podcast, The Tucker Carlson Show, with his brother Buckley, he apologizes for misleading his audience.
Tucker lobbied extremely hard for Trump not to attack Iran. I mean, he really made it his mission to persuade Trump not to do it once he got wind that this was something that Trump was considering. And then when Trump went ahead and launched the military campaign anyway, I think Tucker was, he was more than disappointed. He viewed that as a breaking point.
In very small ways, but in real ways, you and me and millions of people like us are the reason this is happening right now.
Yes.
So I do think it's like a moment to wrestle with our own consciences. You know, we'll be tormented by it for a long time. I will be. And I want to say I'm sorry for misleading people. It was not intentional. That's all I'll say.
And on his podcast, he really lashed out again when Trump, on Easter Sunday in April, he threatened to target Iranian civilian infrastructure in Tehran. He warned, of course, open the effing strait, you crazy bastards. Just a reminder. And Carlson did not like that at all.
Yeah, I mean, he was quite critical of Trump there. You know, and I think he thought what Trump was saying and threatening was immoral.
It is vile. On every level, it begins with a promise to use the U.S. military, our military, to destroy civilian infrastructure. That is immoral. That will never be moral. That can never be justified. That is always wrong.
You know, that said, Trump has said and done all sorts of immoral things that Tucker has not objected to, or if he has objected to them, he's done so very mildly and then tried to change the subject. This one was clearly a sticking point for Tucker, I think, one, because it involved an issue that Tucker really cared about and so vehemently disagreed with. And then number two, I think, the fact that it was on Easter Sunday, Tucker has become much more religious in the past few years, mm-hmm. and I think that was a sensitive thing for him as well. I think he viewed it as blasphemous as well as immoral, and I think it was something that, he felt he needed to speak out about.
Yeah, and he took particular issue with Trump, he says, not restraining Benjamin Netanyahu. He spoke about that with the New York Times interview podcast.
I'm concerned, but as an American, that's our president, our elected president, whose job is to protect our country and our interests and our economy. And he is looking out for Israel first.
But of course, he always denies claims that he is anti-Semitic.
Yeah, it's very hard to talk about any of this without talking about Israel, because Israel and Netanyahu are so central to Tucker's disagreement with Trump and Tucker's anger with Trump about the war in Iran. I mean, Tucker's theory is that, Israel has pushed Donald Trump into this war. And look, obviously Israel has had influence on Donald Trump and has had influence on American foreign policy and was certainly lobbying Trump to go to war in Iran. I don't think anyone denies that. Tucker takes it to a different place, though. Tucker insinuates and in some ways sometimes even flat out says that he thinks Israel is somehow blackmailing Trump or threatening Trump either with physical violence or some sort of, damaging information leak, and that they have, forced Trump to do this, even insinuating that perhaps they were behind the assassination attempts on Trump and that Trump is doing this out of fear. And that's where Tucker, I think, crosses a line.
All right. So Jason, Tucker Carlson, he's split from Donald Trump. And then in July, he raises this idea of a new political party. Now, just tell me about that. What does he want?
Well, I mean, I think on the one hand, he is serious about starting a new political party in the sense that he's angry at the Republican Party because the Republican Party is Donald Trump at this point. And, I think more importantly, Tucker wants to shape what the MAGA movement is after Donald Trump leaves the stage. And he wants the MAGA movement to be an isolationist, blood and soil nationalist movement. And the third party he's talking about will have those tenets, will have those principles. And I think he views that as a way to influence what MAGA becomes, because there's going to be a big fight about what MAGA is once Trump goes away. And for the time being, I think Tucker views this third party as a way to, as his vehicle for that fight. All of that said, I mean, I think he's also raising the prospect of a third party and, putting out this photo of him with Marjorie Taylor Greene and Joe Kent and Tom Massey up around his dining room table in Maine. he's doing that, and he's promoting this idea because it's a way for him to stay relevant. I mean, Tucker is a master of the attention economy. Going and saying you're going to start a third party and releasing that photo, I mean, people are talking about it. I mean, we're talking about it right now.
Yes.
You know, if he had just gone ahead and just kind of had his same podcast and just sort of talked about the same stuff, he needed to come up with something new.
And then comes this manifesto, right? Which sounded less like podcast content and much more like a political speech.
We thought it'd be useful just to set down the goals of whatever comes next. And it'll find all kinds of expressions. And hopefully it's better than what we have, but we know it'll be different from what we have because what we have literally doesn't work.
It's 10 points, but just give me a gist of it. What's its purpose exactly?
I mean, it's a grab bag of all of the things that Tucker and new right thinkers in the United States have been talking about these last few years. And it's all the things he wants MAGA and the United States to be after Trump leaves. You know, he has these 10 principles. You know, one of them is he wants America to be productive. And that basically means he wants the economy to be centered on manufacturing rather than finance. He wants America to be healthy. He wants it to be honest. And, you know, when he says that, it's really about, you know, declassification to advance these various conspiracy theories Tucker has about whether it's the 9/11 attacks or UFOs or the Kennedy assassination. You know, when he talks about how he wants America to be optimistic, that's basically the natalist movement. He wants people to have more children. And then, you know, I think the biggest one is when he talks about how he wants America to be sovereign. And there, that's really about Israel. I mean, he has this theory that Israel is controlling our country. And when he says sovereign, that's what he's talking about. But it's all these things that he talks about on his show and he talks about elsewhere, but it's boiled down to more of a political platform than, say, an interview.
All right, well, Jason, let's consider whether Tucker Carlson would have any chance of actually running in 2028. And as you say, it's remote possibility anyway, but is a possibility. Now, he would need to have donors, organizers, strategists. Is there any sign that there is some sort of political operation forming around him?
I have not heard any talk about that. That said, like, the things that Tucker's doing right now, just even raising the prospect that, you know, this idea of this third party, which inevitably leads people to wonder whether he himself would be running under this third party banner, that's the kind of stuff he needs to do if he is going to do this. So he's doing the things right now that you would need to do if you are going to run, just by talking about it, just by putting it in people's heads. If he were to actually pull the trigger and run, one, I think it's not going to come out of the blue. So what he's doing right now will have been successful in that respect. And then two, I don't think it would be that difficult to put together, you know, an actual operation of donors and organizers and strategists, because, you know, it doesn't really need to be that big. I mean, if you have a dynamic enough candidate, you don't need a huge operation, you know, and I think Donald Trump in 2016 was proof of that. I think Tucker is an extremely politically talented person and would be a very, you know, dynamic and compelling candidate in a way that would probably allow him to get away without having to have a huge operation.
And he'd need a running mate, though, wouldn't he? Who would that be? I'm gathering it wouldn't be J.D. Vance, or would it?
I think J.D. Vance has bigger aspirations than being Tucker Carlson's running mate. I think the big problem Tucker would face in 2028 is that he is on the wrong side of Donald Trump right now. And you know, if he stays on the wrong side of Donald Trump, I think that basically kills your prospects as a conservative candidate in 2028. I mean, the MAGA movement, I think, is a cult of personality that is centered around Donald Trump. And I think, you know, Tucker's problem, and the problem for anybody who's on the wrong side of Donald Trump, who's a conservative, even if they're no longer calling themselves a Republican, for the time being, Donald Trump controls the Republican Party, he controls the conservative movement, and if he doesn't like you, you don't have a chance. For Tucker to have any possibility of being successful in a presidential run in 2028, he'd have to, you know, make amends with Trump. And that just seems unlikely at the moment because so much of his whole platform is, you know, against Trump and against this Iran war. So I don't see how he would kind of get out of that bind.
All right. Well, Jason, in your view, what are the chances, though, of this actually happening? I know you say it's remote, but could Tucker Carlson, in your wildest dreams, I suppose, I mean...
dreams or nightmares.
Donald Trump managed to do it, but could a podcast host Tucker Carlson be U.S. president in 2028?
I don't think in 2028 for all the reasons I just said, but yes. I think in 2032, I don't think it's inconceivable that Tucker Carlson or someone like him could win the Republican nomination in, say, 2032. He wouldn't even have to travel around the country that much. You could almost do it from a podcast studio. So I think once Donald Trump is out of the picture, someone like Tucker or Tucker himself could conceivably win the nomination of the Republican Party. And then whoever does that, I mean, they have a 50-50 chance given how polarized the country is.
Jason Zengerle is a staff writer at The New Yorker magazine and the author of Hated by All the Right People, Tucker Carlson and the Unraveling of the Conservative Mind. This episode was produced by Ilaria Brophy and Louise Marlin. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is Sydney Peed. I'm Sam Hawley. ABC News Daily. We'll be back again on Monday. Thanks for listening.